Are you ready to rumble? What do you get when you mix professional wrestling with a kaiju flick? When you mix the WWE with Godzilla? Why, you get an inoffensive and rather inconsequential, nearly direct-to-streaming animated film. But does this film deserve to be seen by more eyeballs? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju vs. History Rumble.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your powerhouse host with a heavy powerbomb, Miles, and joining me is a turnstile climbing apex predator, giving the people tentacle, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing, bud?
Oh, yeah. It's Patricular.
We are, of course, looking at the 2021 animated film Rumble. And I feel like both you and I had this movie on our radar possibly before, like outside of doing this podcast altogether. This was something that I think that you and I talked about a little bit when it was, I guess, first gestating, because this thing's been in the tank for a while.
Yeah, I forget when the first trailer came out, but I want to say it was
like
before the pandemic. Yeah.
Oh, no, it was like 2018, 2019, because I think it was 2019 when they said, oh, we're moving the movie like further down the pike, because it was supposed to come out like summer 2020, and then yes, it got moved.
Yes, it was moved again, actually a few times, I think, into 2021. And finally, its release date, I believe, was in the middle of winter.
Yeah, it had like Paramount an innocuous Plus, like Christmas time Paramount Plus release date, like December 15th, 2021.
Well, I think, like, it came out in theaters.
Did it have a theatrical release? Because I know it was planned to be, but I don't.
If it was, it was a very small one, because I don't feel like
I remember seeing it. On its Wikipedia, anywhere, it does not even have a box office number.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely meant to be, I think, in 2020, but just about every studio is like, we can't put anything out and have it make negative dollars.
Right.
But yeah, I remember when it came out on Paramount Plus, because for some reason I was signed up at the time. So I was like, oh, I'll go ahead and I'll give this a watch.
It's funny, because I remember seeing the trailer, being super interested in the concept, because, I mean, if you listen to this podcast at all, from like day one, I have always said, I want my kaiju things to be more like wrestling. I want these monsters to like tussle. And I mean, I've commented, I specifically remember talking about hot tags in Godzilla versus Megalon. We've talked about the kind of more wrestling nature that's come out of the legendary films. So yes, I mean, you would think that a WWE Studios animated co-feature with Paramount Studios would be exactly what we have been asking for. And well, we'll see. But first, Patrick, tell us, what's in the title?
I mean, it's fine. Yeah, Rumble. Maybe too simple of a title for this film.
I don't hate it, to be perfectly honest.
It could be a lot of things. I wish it was a little, it had kaiju in there somewhere, you know, kaiju clash, monster mash.
Yeah, it kind of depends on you having some sort of wrestling vernacular, because Rumble is such a, like, if you talk to any wrestling fan and just mention the Rumble, they know what they know what you're talking about. Whether you're a fan of WWE, which I am not, or not, but like, you know what Rumble, like, that word resonates amongst wrestling fans.
But it's not like used in the movie, right?
No, it's not at all. Which I kind of, I'm fine with that, but it is. I'm not unfond of the title itself, but what did other countries come up with?
Well, it did have a, before it was changed to Rumble, I think in 2019, it was in production for a while. It's based on a 2013 graphic novel called Monster on the Hill, which has nothing to do with wrestling. It's like about like a dragon more than anything.
It's kind of like Men in Black, or like the movie Men in Black has nothing to do with the miniseries comic that came out like 5 years beforehand.
Not that they're, were they not I thought they were pretty similar.
No. Like the Men in Black novel. Comic version, like they're kind of very kind of fascist and like very self-serious, and it's not funny at all. Like it's
it's definitely not funny. Yeah, I mean it's a children's book and it has nothing to do with wrestling, so it's like, okay, well they really went out on this. It's about like monsters kind of like finding themselves in more of like a fantasy world. This is kind of closer to, I wouldn't say science fiction, but a more advanced society a la Pacific Rim. But yeah, in other countries.
But Pacific Rim, but we're not fighting with the monsters. We are co-signing with them in major deals so they can fight each other.
Rumble, I don't know, you know, translates to a lot of languages. So in Taiwan, it was called Monster Fight. Argentina and some other places, Monster Mania, which I think is a great title. It's a better one if you want to go for a wrestling themed title. Brazil and then some other Portuguese places, it was League of Monsters, which they're, it's called the Wrestling World Monster.
Yeah,
wrestling.
League of Monsters kind of gives me more of a like a group ensemble like team vibe, and that just doesn't really pick up here for me.
And then Monster League, the opposite of that in Japan. Germany, it was titled Rumble with the subtitle Winnie Rocks the Monster League, which is a lot of the plot, I guess, there.
Yeah, and I mean it's true, but it's also a weird title for a film.
I think my favorite is Portugal's The Monsters of Wrestling. It sounds great. It sounds like a documentary.
It does sound great. And if it was about more characters, I'd be down. But this is mostly about our singular character. And so what's funny about this movie is the time in which it comes out. Because this movie was written, conceived, and mostly done before a lot of things happened in the wrestling world. Chiefly, the main promotion that both Patrick and I follow, AEW All Elite Wrestling, because, not gonna lie, this movie feels like a justification for AEW in general. And the wildest thing about the script is it feels very anti-current WWE climate. And that's very funny to me. One, this movie values the idea of the territories, something Vince McMahon killed in the 90s. And so there's a lot of ideas here where it's like, you're involved, and it's like, but you're the bad guy here, right? That's the wild thing about this movie.
It barely resembles, you know, wrestling federations in that, like, every wrestler is kind of like their own agent, like they have their own stadium. Like, was there more than one wrestler to any particular?
I think you're supposed to infer that there was, but like there was a big one came from Stoker, and
it's called Stoker upon Avon. I'm like, what kind of, who is writing this movie?
Right.
Hamish Grieve is both the director and the writer of the screenplay, along with Matt Lieberman. Stoker upon Avon is a play on like Shakespeare's birth. It was something upon Avon.
I'm assuming Stoker as in Bram Stoker?
Stratford upon Avon is the place where William Shakespeare was born. Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite understand what they're going for with these references. For whatever reason,
Stoker has become the ubiquitous thing for the horror sci-fi award. The Stoker Award is a big deal amongst horror sci-fi novelists. So
But it's like, does that have anything to do with kaiju? I mean, yes, they're monsters, but it's like,
does any of this to you? I mean, right, really?
Well, sorry to derail, but just that title alone was so, the name of the town was so weird. And like they call it both Stoker and Stoker upon Avon every once in a while. And I had to look it up. I was like, what are they saying? Stoker upon Avon. Yeah, so that's our main town that has the most famous kaiju wrestler of all time who disappeared at sea,
which I thought was going to play into this movie, and it absolutely does not at all.
Like a post-credit sequence of like,
I thought at some point like the villain would be like, oh well, we were responsible for this in some capacity. That's how it always runs, you know.
No.
But like, no, that whole thing was as you like innocent as you thought. Like, no, they were lost at sea. We will never touch upon that again.
Each of these wrestlers are kind of treated as their own entities, and they're going around almost like baseball teams. It's treated more like a like, well, oh, this is our stadium, this is our, but you know, also wrestler feels
like territory days, because like you would have someone like Andre the Giant show up somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and like it was a big deal for that town to have Andre the Giant, and everyone kind of remembers him as this larger than life character who was in movies and WrestleMania 3 and all this stuff, but like that's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
It, to help like all these other places pop up on the map. He appeared all of these spots around the country, taking on their champions, basically beating them, but like filling out the seats, putting butts in seats. And so that's how I kind of interpret it, like what these main monsters are for each territory. And as we start off with, you know, we have Tentacular, who is played fantastically by Terry Crews.
Yeah, he's a great casting for that character, over the top.
He generally was, and you have this great opening moment where like you have a legit match that the main character does actually help with. Mm-hmm. And when he wins, he does the best. I love this when you have a clear heel who is under the assumption of a baby face and then does the heel thing. It's perfect. You've seen so many people do it the best, yes, of the best.
It should be noted, though, this universe doesn't have kaiju kayfabe, kaiju fabe, because
we have a character who is a jobber.
Well, to be fair, that is portrayed as like just taking a dive. That's like actual wrestling, but no, yes, like they're for the purposes of fleecing people out of money through bets. They fake wrestling at another promotion, but like it seems to be closer to boxing. Like they're actually fighting.
Oh, yeah,
So Tentacular's quote unquote heel turn is actually him just showing to the world that he is a jerk in real life. You know?
But like, but at the same time, if you're familiar with wrestling, this act, and again, this is WWE Studios, like release as for kids. Like they are expecting you to like be somewhat familiar with this kind of action, and Terry Crews does it to perfection. Like that heel turn at the start was fantastic, because I've lost count of the amount of times where you've had someone who's supposed to be like, even if they're heel, like on a babyface run, and just completely turn on the crowd. It's I've seen, you know, MJF and Christian, all these folks do it to like delight. And Terry Crews, I mean, he did a great job, kind of yucking it up for the mic, for sure.
You mentioned this is WWE Studios. Technically, I think this is the last movie that WWE Studios did. They've done, they're still doing, producing some television here and there. But yeah, this shut down maybe their film ambitions, because this was probably a bit of a...
To be honest, there's only one thing outside of maybe like, you know, their Scooby-Doo stuff that has actually been like, I sound like a jerk saying this, but like a legit movie since like they did. I mean, I know they did like the Rundown and Walking Tall and stuff, but like for me, Fighting with the Family is like the one, like,
yeah,
like it was an AEW, I'm not AEW, I'm sorry, A24 release, and kind of one of like the legit things that they did.
So I haven't seen it.
It's very, very, I mean, I'm a big Paige/Soraya fan, but it's very good. I will say, though, I'm a big fan of the Rundown, to be perfectly honest.
so I haven't seen that either. But yeah, surprising, like they've had like almost 20 something years of filmmaking, and for whatever reason they've ostensibly kind of pulled out of it, even though I mean, maybe it's just because the wrestlers they're trying to get into these movies are able to do it a little easierly, kind of independently, because I don't think WWE is producing this upcoming Street Fighter movie that they're doing.
No, they're not, but they're involved. They're certainly not involved with the Smashing Machine, but biopic with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson was like their first movie star, and then he made his own production company, and WWE anymore.
A lot of the stuff they do, I mean, like they did the Escape the Undertaker event for Netflix, as well as like a kids movie for Netflix. But like most of their stuff is like the Marine 5, or there's like two Scooby-Doo WWE crossovers, a Jetsons and a Flintstones. and they did the sequel to Surf's Up for whatever reason. But everything else is like just random things. Like, I don't need Santa's Little Helper, which is a Christmas fantasy comedy starring The Miz. of all people that like I need to relate to at the holiday season, The Miz is not among them.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have Jingle All the Way 2 with Louis the Cable Guy? Because that's a WWE Studios production. So I'm not really lamenting much of their the one legit movie outside of Fighting With My Family that I think they've released is Mike Flanagan's Oculus.
That's so weird.
It's the weirdest thing in their whole catalog.
So they teamed up with a straight to DVD or straight to streaming sequel to the animated Penguin movie Surf's Up with right. Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania.
Yes.
And had, you know, wrestlers in there. That one might be worth watching.
Would it though?
Yeah. Yeah. If you like the first Surf's Up, you gotta see Wave Mania. Well, never mind then.
I certainly didn't like the first Marine, and I'm not gonna watch 2 through 5 get to the Miz's whole trilogy.
No, I was pretty delighted when I watched this movie the first time, mostly because it felt pretty novel. Like you said, I was like, oh, man, they, you know, kind of finally decided to do something fun and kaiju, like original IP kaiju for children. And yeah, on rewatching it for the podcast here, I guess I watched it in 2021. So what, 4 years ago? It's so painfully simple. Super.
It's not just simple that. Film. Here's the thing. Whenever it's doing like wrestling stuff and even wrestling like behind, like inside baseball stuff, it's fine. But whenever it's trying to be like a legit, like heartfelt, like animated film,
yeah.
It is paint by numbers. It's let's take every major animated film that's ever existed. Let's take this trope, and copy and paste it. Nothing is original in that format. And it breaks my heart because they have great talent. Like Geraldine, is it Viswanathan?
Yeah, yeah. So she's Winnie, the trainer / you know, daughter of the dead trainer for the main.
So I've been a big fan of hers since Miracle Workers. I think she's a phenomenal talent. I'm glad she's getting better roles. You know, like she just was recently featured in Thunderbolts, which is a big one. And I think she does a great job here, but anytime they actually do the stuff with involving her dad or even involving like any normal human stuff, it is copy and paste.
Well,
across the, like they took every kid's movie and just took a thing and it's almost like they just like put the script in a ChatGPT and like, hey, let's make an emotional kids movie. And everything just feels so plasticine in that respect. Like, it's not that it's awful. It's just, it's paid by numbers, you know? And it's really disappointing because there's so many good ideas and frankly, so many good performances here.
Well, I was very excited when the trailer came out because it had Will Arnett as the main kaiju. And he's just like not well suited, or he's not doing anything special for this character of Rayburn Jr.
He's just being Will Arnett, which,
well, and it, yeah, that's the thing. He's just coming off of, you know, an award-winning run on an animated series of BoJack Horseman when this movie comes out. And I just expected a little bit more. He's also did the Lego Batman, I think, at this point. And
he would do Chip and Dale, but like Lego Batman was before. Yes.
It's just about both of those two leads they're not doing anything amazing. And it's not like they don't have a great script. So
no,
There's
there's also the other effect for this movie. And for me, the biggest, I think, turnoff for Rumble is I think the main character kaiju design sucks. It looks like you put in kids movie monster into a search engine and this is what you got. It is the most basic, boring design. Almost every other character in this movie in terms of the kaiju creatures are fantastic.
A lot of characters.
Looks great.
Well, let's talk about them because there's a lot of them in the movie.
All the things that he fights are fantastic, but Rayburn Jr. is a boring, lazy design that
they're frankly, we got to make it simple so they can make toys out of
I'm blaming Jr. DreamWorks here. Like, everyone wants to go the toothless route, and this looks legitimately toothless in terms of a wrestling character. It's a bad design.
The thing, they really went into like the soft shapes, where you could do soft shapes, but like Tentacular is a great example. He is weird and unique and interesting to look at, and you can do a whole bunch of things. Like, his arms being made up of four tentacles each is weird and cool. And animated wise, they do a lot of stuff with that in the two fights that he's in the movie. Honestly,
King Gorge is great. He's a bulldog, but he's also got these horns. And he's fun. Like,
he's fine. I will say, I did not like Becky Lynch's monster.
What? Axe Hammer.
Yeah, it looks too much like How to Train Your Dragon.
It does. I think part reptile. Of it is Becky Lynch was all in on her character, and I think that made the character work.
Oh, well, I mean, she was fine as the character itself.
No, but she did this great animated job that with the weird design of the character, which I don't fully disagree with you on, but I think with Becky Lynch behind the voice, it really worked. But I don't think it was as strong as Bridget Everett as Lady Mayhem, the toucan monster. That was
that was a real weird one, huh?
I loved that. But like, that's what I'm talking about. Every other creature is an interesting design except for our main character.
Yes, and it is exaggerated by the fact that we do see flashbacks and like media coverage of his father, who looks just a lot cooler, you know? And mm-hmm. And because of, you know, not that we see him fight, but because the horns are like so much larger on his father, it seems like he could do more stuff with his fighting style, you know, like locking up the horns or things like that. I don't know. I agree with you there. The route that they took with Will Arnett's character is like he's into salsa dancing. So like that's his edge. And once again, that kind of stuff, it just feels like they're trying to play to both wrestling and like MMA or boxing, because it's like, oh, it matters so much about his foot movements and things like that. It's like, no, it doesn't. It should be about their fun special abilities, you know, their fun kaiju action abilities. And main character's a little bit of a letdown because of that. Yeah. Yeah, the plot's pretty simple too. Gotta save the old rec center. gotta wrestle for the honor.
I don't mind that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind the save the territory aspect, but that's a very wrestling idea. I don't mind that so much.
They want to turn it into a parking lot, this old stadium.
Well, like, the weird thing, again, the weird thing is like this whole idea is that it's supposed to be like by WWE Studios. And I'm like, aren't you the guys trying to turn things into a parking lot? Like, you know, it's very funny because like even in their own movie, they're pretty much the bad guys. I'm not here to just the talk smack on the fetties, but I'm gonna. But I do wish this movie was greater than what it is, because when it's about wrestling, and I mean, and what's so funny, and this is what again makes me think that this movie is so funny, because from a perspective of an AEW fan, you have even within this movie someone who's like complaining that the new upstart isn't doing wrestling right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh boy, this sounds familiar. Oh, but this is the hero of your movie. And again, this was written at a time before AEW existed.
It was quite a shoot on their own fans, because it makes fun of crazy fans a lot.
The meta aspect as a wrestling fan is wild watching this film. But for the kaiju aspect, I have to say, like, outside of the main character, all the other creatures, from King George to what's the friend that's played from Kevin from The Office? What is his name?
Klonk?
Klonk. Yeah, Klonk.
The warthog?
The warthog guy.
Yeah.
But like all the other monsters that are like intermediate, they're all well designed. They're all interesting looking. Roman Reigns plays that weird gorilla-like guy. which I don't know why you had Roman Reigns just basically do nothing, but that's
oh my gosh,
his wrestling career.
putting him over in this movie.
it's his wrestling career. Didn't do a whole lot, but gonna make some people mad with that one. That creature was well designed. All the creatures are well designed except for the main character. It's so annoying because I do think everything else about this movie looks great.
Yeah, and they got so many crazy big actors for fairly small roles. Like Tony Shalhoub is the diner owner, and Tony Danza
is the other coach.
Siggy, yeah, is the coach.
You have Ben Schwartz playing a very obvious Ben Schwartz character, so that one's kind of hard to miss. But like Charles Barkley is
and also a dig at potentially Shane McMahon because it's like his daddy bought him Tentacular's contract. I was like, what are you doing?
But Charles Barkley plays Rayburn Senior.
Yes, I missed that completely until I
saw the cast listing. I was like, wait, I'm sorry.
I don't think he's got that many lines, but
no, just a couple.
Do you have a favorite moment in the film? A favorite scene?
Most of the best scenes, I think, come from the stuff between Winnie and Steve. Mm-hmm. But I think the best stuff comes in the scenes in the latter half where Winnie's actively coaching Steve. I think that's some of the best stuff. It's very good sports movie stuff. Her big speech to him. But I love that entire last fight. I think it's a very, very fun match and extremely entertaining. But yeah, what about you? Did you have a favorite part?
Honestly, my favorite part is the intro to the universe and the world. The first like credit scene where it shows all these kaiju and kind of like art form fighting throughout the centuries and just showing humans like loving the fights like from ancient times. So like in ancient Greece, there's like a hydra, and in ancient Egypt, there's a sphinx fighting. I thought that was just really cool.
It also mirrors our interest. I mean, we have a whole, like, the championship movies, like Godzilla versus, you know, Gamera versus. Like, yes, we actively love that stuff. And I love that this movie kind of takes that idea of, like, okay, if these things did exist, this is exactly what would go down. And we would be fans of it. And I love this kind of super, like, optimistic idea that we would live in Congress with monsters for the express reason that they beat the crap out of each other.
yeah. I will say that there are elements that work in the movie regarding kind of the universe that they've built, but I dislike how everything is kaiju sized, you know, like except when it's not, like except when it kind of makes it a fun joke. That it's like, oh, he's got to hold like the human sized microphone, like a little needle in his hand.
Which makes zero sense because if you have that production value, you're going to absolutely have a kaiju sized microphone.
It feels like everyone could hear him, you know, if he's a kaiju.
There's also that.
Like, why is Tentacular talking into a microphone?
Because it makes for a great visual.
I imagine Terry Crews doing it, and it's funny.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you've seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You've seen him do a lot with tiny things. Like, it's very funny. And that it's a good sight gag for kids. So I didn't mind that as much. Did you want to talk about how our ratings?
Yeah, I'm fine getting into it. It didn't score a lot of high marks from critics. This one got
dunked on pretty hard.
Well, it feels like it was really buried because if they were ramping up
it was
in 2020 for that actual release, and then I feel like the decision to put it on streaming was like really sudden, and it was just like it's out there. You can watch it over, you know, your holidays or what have you. It's got a 47% on Rotten Tomatoes, 5.2 out of 10 on for fans, and similar on Metacritic and IMDb. Not stellar. I enjoy this. I think between my first viewing and second, I'm going to average those two down to be a 7 out of 10. Very simple, very fun. It does combine my two favorite obsessions of watching wrestling and kaiju movies. So like there's a novelty to it.
It makes me so happy to hear you say that.
it's a good time watching the film. I feel like it is worth watching at least once if you're a fan of either one of those. I don't feel like it needs really a rewatching. To be fair, after 4 years, I almost completely forgot about the plot of the movie. So like going back, it was like a brand new time watching it. So I enjoyed it a little bit less on my second rewatch just because it was so simple. I think the first time is definitely a bit better. So 7 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
I'm a little bit harsher on this one. I here's the thing. I think it is a perfectly adequate movie in terms of if you're putting something on, you want something to enjoy, if you like wrestling and kaiju. But it is such a superficial, like surface level entertainment film. And for the reasons I said it before, we're like it misses all of the good, like kind of human moments that you could have. All of the emotional moments just feel copy and pasted from other films. There doesn't seem to be any actual agency for the characters. There's no real meat on the bones in terms of the emotional gravitas. And that's honestly really unfortunate because on paper, this movie is for everyone that loves kaiju movies. Like I know there are so many people who've listened to me since like, you know, the early days. I'm like, okay, well, we finally have a movie that's got wrestling and kaiju. Miles is going to go bananas for it.
have to enjoy it.
Yeah. And here's the thing is like, all the wrestling stuff, it gets pretty right and is really entertaining. Mm-hmm. But in terms of its, you know, emotional payback, it's serviceable at best. And frankly, that it holds the movie down a lot of the movie's stuff, because the wrestling aspect doesn't really come in until later. Like, that's really the last third of the movie is really the main wrestling part. And everything else is built on this idea of what these characters are mostly going through, and it's just I feel like I'm watching someone plagiarize like other people's homework for the first two thirds, and it's not as entertaining. It's certainly not a bad time, but I gotta say it for my personal enjoyment, because of that I gave it a 6 out of 10, because like yeah, it's good enough, but it could have been so much better, and that's what disappoints me the most about this movie.
Yes, that they probably likely will never do this concept ever again, and this is what we got from it. I understand. Yeah, I'm probably closer to a 6 out of 10 on this second rewatch, but I'm at a 6 out of 10 for its technical score. Like I said, I really enjoy some of the monster designs. Some of them really feel incongruous and uninteresting. Like you said, I love Tentacular. I love King George. I like the
fantastic design.
Especially the character concept behind King George as being this.
He's literally the British Bulldog, and I love that. I love a very obvious metaphor for wrestler. You know,
he's played by a British boxer.
Boxer, right? Yeah,
yeah, Chris Eubanks, which is interesting. Fun little things like that.
The dog's a bulldog, it's not a boxer. So,
but the human animation, I just don't enjoy. The main character has a nice design. It's very
DreamWorks.
But I would say DreamWorks is even better. It's so kind of stock and boring. I don't want to see any of that universe. But yeah, like I said, what I was most excited about was what does this universe feel like in a place where you have to train monsters, and the monster gym that is a focus of the majority of the movie that they train in is just a regular gym, but like made larger for kaiju.
Like boring. A super empty warehouse. Like it's really uninventive. There's this whole bit where like Winnie is like, oh, the smell of the this and the smell of the feet and all this stuff. And like if you watch a movie like Rocky, like you feel that you are entering a place when you go to that gym that has history, that has a scent, that has character. You don't get that with this gym. And like, that's the big problem. It's like, it feels like such a stock background thing. I'm with you on that, because like, I want to at least feel like this place has a sense of existence. It has a scent. It has, you know, character. And the only place that I got that from was the freaking diner in the movie.
There are some fun little universe details, like in the in the beginning of the movie, when she's running in to help Tentacular, she runs by like a giant cold compress, you know, like something that a boxer or wrestler might have to put on their shoulder. And I wanted more stuff like that. Just didn't get it. I feel like they weren't playing around with the idea of them being kaiju sized that well. The trainers are on like little hover motorcycles, like hover jets. And that, you know, rarely came up in the film. It's like, why did they need to be? They could just use like a microphone or an earpiece if they wanted to talk to it. It's just such a silly little detail that's added in. It seemed like it was going to be very important because every trainer had their own little hover bike. But yeah, I'm giving it a 6 out of 10. You know, it just kind of middle of the road there. What about you, Miles?
I'm right there with you. I'm at a 6 out of 10. I think, honestly, if this script were stronger, everything about the movie would be a little bit different. Despite the fact that I still dislike Steve the Stupendous / Rayburn Jr.'s design, I think it's super lazy. And I agree with you that the humans are mostly meh. I can forgive that if it had a better script. Like that, I mean, the thing is, like, if you bring the emotional gravitas, like, in the script, I can look past certain things like that. And that's the biggest problem with this movie is the script. Because of that, I notice, oh, well, Steve doesn't look that great. And the townspeople don't look that great. And there's a lot of the human element that kind of looks kind of meh. And this doesn't connect. And this doesn't connect. And so, like, there's so many dominoes that fall because of the lack of a consistently good script. Like I said, when this does what it does well, which is really its wrestling aspect, it does sing. And the wrestling stuff is exciting to watch. It is very, very fun. But it still doesn't deliver the way it should. And that really hurts the movie for me. So, like, yeah, I'm right there with you. This is a really, honestly, a heavy script 6 out of 10 with some design downfalls that kind of play to that as well.
What about It's Important as a Kaiju film, Miles? What do you think about that?
This is a tough one for me just because, like, I think it's going to come up in conversation of, like, you know, especially for someone who does love wrestling, there is going to be this conversation. Oh, well, is there not a movie that kind of blends these two things together? And we can talk about Big Band Japan or Kaiju Big Battle or whatever. But there is specifically a movie by a wrestling company production that actively has monsters wrestling, and it's such a bummer that it doesn't deliver the way it should, where I'm like, oh no, you want to see monsters just wrestling and going for it, this is your movie, and this simply isn't. And for that reason, mostly, I still have to, I'm at 6 out of 10. Like, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, on a surface level conversation, this thing could be interesting, but really, once you get past the fact that, oh, it doesn't deliver, that's too bad. And well, so for me, it's not bad. Like, I'm not dunking it, but it's not going to be in the upper echelons of conversations of kaiju movies. So I'm keeping it at a 6 for me.
I'm going lower. I'm going a 5 out of 10, mostly because, like I said, I feel like they could have dropped the wrestling elements in favor of boxing or MMA or just like general fighting. You know, it didn't seem like it was a major part of the plot, you know, so for that aspect, it just didn't seem like it was super kind of wrestling heavy. And the kaiju element, like, they call them monsters. They call them kaiju and titans in another part of the film. But for the most part, they are just big, beefy, weird looking humans, you know, for the most part.
I mean, that doesn't bother me.
Ray especially. But yeah, there's not like a, I don't know, I guess a lineage of them being wild or monsters. They are just straight human personalities.
I'm okay with
that.
I don't need the background of the monsters here. I'm okay with, like, hey, yeah, we have a society that has monsters and humans and the monsters wrestle. Cool. I'm good. I'm down.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just needed a little bit more from it.
Boy. This is the exact opposite of our weekly wrestling conversations where I'm like, no, this is fine. No. It's not. I need more. And I'm the one who's always like, no, I need more from this. And you're like, no, it's fine.
Well, I mean, we're ending up at the same place for the score for Rumble here. You're at a 6 out of 10. I'm at a 6 out of 10, which means our podcast final is a 6 out of 10 for Rumble. It's good. It's not very good.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's serviceable.
Yes. And one that I feel like folks can give a watch to. I'd be interested. I feel like this movie, if there hadn't been a COVID pandemic, probably would have bombed. Like, anyway, so maybe it's best that it went straight to streaming.
If Clifford didn't do it, then
folks can find us online at kaijuversushistory.com. Check out our Letterboxd, join our Cosmic Crit Discord. We have a whole kaiju channel there, talk about upcoming kaiju things. Or if you want to reach out to us directly, you can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Send us fan messages and we will read them live here. Recently got one, Miles, from a fan named Spotify that said if we want to agree to the new terms and conditions from Spotify, we just got to click here. What are we doing then next week, Miles?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we put our eye patches on and ready our harpoons for some more animated fantasy action and dive into the deep blue ocean where there be monsters with us when we watch History versus the Sea Beast.